read further in Luke chapter 15. 15th chapter of the Gospel by Luke. And reading from verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want to think of this latter part of this threefold parable about this son, bringing before us a lovely picture of a sinner coming home, sinner coming to Jesus. First thing I want to think of is his willful demand. Give me the portion that falleth to me. Then I want to say a little about his wasted substance. Then, about his wise decision, I will arise and go to my father. And then, I'd like to notice a little about the waiting father. Touching the waiting father. And then, to close with the welcome home. The welcome home. You know, poor sinners don't realize that none of us do till after God saves us. That where the Lord Jesus, where God made the throne for himself, in my being, there's a monster there, by nature. You say, Mister, I don't think that of me. I say there's a monster on the throne where God had made for himself, because that's what man's heart was for, the throne of God. God was to take possession and rule and be the master. A monster? If I told you that all the tobacco that was ever grown in North America could never satisfy that monster, you'd say he is a monster, wouldn't you? All the tobacco that was ever grown will never satisfy that habit of that monster inside. All the drugs that was ever manufactured will never satisfy that monster. All the liquor that was ever distilled will never satisfy that monster. And we could go right down the line. Give me! Give me! Give me! Isn't that the language of every one of us? That was the language of the prodigal. Give me the portion that falleth to me. And your brother Pierce has mentioned that perhaps one thing he used to drill into was, he says, if you forget everything else I say here tonight, he says, I want you to remember this, that man is a supremely selfish being. And he'd go over that pretty near every night. My friend, you can mark it down, that's exactly what we are by nature. Every one of us who has undergone anything to do with it. Give me the portion that falleth to me.
He divided unto them as living, unto him as living. And he took his journey into a far country, leaving home. Oh, friend, God saw you. Some of you brought up in a Sunday school. Some of you brought up in a Christian home. And God watched his father and mother get down by the bedside or by the chair in the kitchen. And they cried to God for you. And your heart was tender. Your heart was tender. And maybe you had thoughts about getting saved when you were a little boy or a little girl. And God the Father watched. The God in heaven watched as you grew up. And little by little you get into things. And your heart began to be hardened. And that language of your soul was, give me, give me. And then there came the day when you closed the door and you left dead home. And you went out into the far country. And maybe you're farther away tonight than you ever dreamed you'd ever get into the far country. And what are you doing? You're wasting your substance with riotous living. If you're not saved and living for God, you're wasting your substance with riotous living. Oh, you might not be a drunkard or a drug addict, but it just comes to me something I read not long ago of Lord Mountbatten, that man that was assassinated there by the IRA, looking over a great array of trophies they won, playing polo, I believe it was. There was something like 75 or 100 of them, and this is his own caption over the top of them. The fruit of a wasted life. I didn't put it there. That's what he put there as an older man. Lord Beaverbrook, who left this country when he was 30 years of age, he was a millionaire. And he went over to England, he became a politician. And he was a very clever politician. He didn't make much in the political world as far as getting elected, but he went up to the House of Lords. Max Aiken was his name. And he came from a godly home, a godly father, a Presbyterian minister. And he went zooming to the top. And while Churchill got the credit for winning the war for the Allies, if you read the book, you'll find that it was Lord Beaverbrook behind Churchill that was the real push. But why I mention his name, I'll read it to you. It's the lion. Now in my old age, he said, I am still selling newspapers. He's a newspaper man. But there is a difference. In his youth, his object was to make money. He said, now it is to carry the message of Empire Union. He went on, I have labored on behalf of the Empire Commercial Union for nearly 50 years. Without rest and without success. I have been a failure. That was his word as an old man. And you know what he said? If I had the opportunity to influence a young man to take up a calling in life, I'd say, young man, go in for being an evangelist. He says, there's no one that I so admire as the evangelist. He said, I used to pity my poor old father. As he got up into the pulpit to preach, as a young man, I pitied him. And now he says, I envy him his life's calling. This is what I'm talking about, friends. If you're making your millions, it's a wasted substance. No matter what you're doing, if you're out of Christ, it's not what God created you for. And if you're here tonight without Christ, you're like the prodigal son. And friend, you're in the far country. You're in the far country. Oh, how sad. How sad. I wonder if there's a boy or a girl here tonight. And you're out come under the roof of that parental home there where you were cared for, where you were nurtured, where you were prayed for. Or maybe you come from a home where they don't know the Lord Jesus. And there's many a one like that in the world today. Many a one like that. And they're longing to know what it's all about. They don't know. Their life is empty. And they don't know what to do about it. A far country. wasting his substance with riotous living. Is there a prodigal here tonight? Well, I like to think, as I go along, when he came to himself, money all gone, fed up. I told you last night, many a night coming home from the den, I said, Eva, if this is all there is to life, I just feel that I'm taking my own life. Now, yes, it happened every day, just before I left home. My cousin was going across the bridge. Quite a deep, fast flowing river. And he saw a little red car parked on the side of the road, on the bridge. And he saw a man over the wheel. He went on out to where he was going for the day. And he thought, I should have stopped. Maybe that man was sick. Maybe that man was sick. Two days after, he heard that they were dragging the river. And about the end of the week, they brought dear Gordon's body from up on the shore, and they took him to the morgue. 54 years of age. We always bought our groceries from him, and many a time was spoken to, not as much as we wish we had of, but he was a neighbor. We don't know what happened, but in the middle of the night, he gets up, the dear wife, and beside his dear wife, he thought he had just gone down for a drink of water, and in his pajamas, he gave to the car. There he went, drove the car to the bridge. He had been there looking it over a few days before, dropped the keys in the car, and evidently took that clutch. Fed up. I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you're fed up. Wasted your substance with riotous living, desiring to fill your belly with the husk and the swine to eat. And dear Senator, it'll never do. It'll never do. Oh, to come to the end of life without Christ, without a Savior. What an awful thing. That dear man that the Brother Pierce has mentioned. His dear father was a correspondent in the First Assembly in Newfoundland when Brother Sims and his wife were over there. They remember him well. Dear old Mr. Powell was saved for the Methodists. And when the gospel came to Carboneers, he saw the truth of gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus, and he sat down with us there to remember the Lord. And he lived for God, and he brought up those sons. I know there were quite a, there were young teenagers when the assembly was started. But Max was a big proud fellow, although he didn't have anything to be proud of. He didn't have enough money to buy a shirt. Well, we knew him. But he got into business. And it just snowballed until, as you've been hearing, millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of turnover every year. And there he is with a big empire there of trucks and business. And he got the bottle and he drank and he drank. Where's your old dad's admonitions? Ah, they're gone. They're gone. And he comes down. But when that fatal blow strikes, when he gets down to the very bottom and they take him into the hospital, and he looked up at the nurse and he says, don't let me die. I'm not ready. Prodigal. He came to himself. But it was too late, evidently. He was going under the ether. He knew he wasn't ready. And the rest, my friend, you've heard already tonight. As far as we know, poor Max went out without any, leaving any hope. Your Father in heaven, I want to tell you, dear sinner, you might be priding yourself you're going to get saved sometime. But all the laws of average tonight, if you're not saved tonight, the chances are, my friend, the devil is going to outwit you. That's what brought me to my senses when the man said to me, Herb Harris said to me, Albert, he says, do you want to go to hell? I said, no, Mr. Harris, I don't want to go to hell. He had me all alone. You can get a sinner alone for an awful lot of difference. And he waited all the silence and painful. He let every word sink in.
Well, he said, Albert, that's where you're going. Now he says the devil is outwitted millions, and you be no exception. And unless you make one mighty effort to get God's salvation, you're going to be in hell as sure as you're sitting on that old wagon this afternoon.
I knew exactly what that man was saying, Mr. Trump. Because I had promised myself I'm going to get saved. Oh, but not till after the dance. I had promised to play at that dance. 2 weeks' time, I couldn't get saved before that. Those words stung my soul. Now he said, listen, Albert, will you come to the meeting tonight with your mind made up that you're going to get saved tonight? What could I say? I didn't have boys around to wink at you, know, and say, put the preacher off. I was face to face with a soul in her, and God was doing business in my soul. I was on trial for eternity. And what did I say? From the depths of my soul, I just said, yes, Mr. Harris, I will. And that didn't save me, but it did something. It brought me to a place where you're going to have to come and you're going to get saved. It brought me to a place where I had agreed I'm going to get saved. That night, about 5 o'clock, after supper and the chores were done, I was doing the chores and sitting there thinking of what I told the preacher, thinking of the dance, thinking of the boy, thinking of what weighing up the cost, what's it going to mean, thinking of Annie, thinking of this one, thinking of that one, all the rest of them. Oh, friend, what a moment in a sinner's life when they come to themselves, sitting there on that old milk stool that minute. I believe that's when I came to myself. I said, I don't care. I'm going to get saved tonight. And it didn't save me. But in that frame of mind, I got ready and I had a walk. Almost 3 miles. Walk and run and run and walk to get there. Out of breath, reached the tent, sat down. Preacher was preaching, and I told you this story last night, preaching of the two roads. Now, it's altogether different than any other meeting. I had come to myself, and I said, I'm coming home. I'm coming tonight. With all my heart, I meant it. But as I said that, I didn't know how. Didn't know how. Never dawned upon me that God was more anxious to save me than I was to be saved. Ah, friend, he was a prodigal. And he came to himself. The father didn't know anything about it away down there in the far country. But when he got up from that pig, from that pig trough there, from keeping the pigs, and he turns his face toward home, he had come to himself. Now I think of that waiting father, and I want to tell you, there's one waiting for you tonight, dear sinner. He's more anxious to save you than you are to be saved. And he's watching. Can't you see that dear old father? And from the day that he left, I used to hear my mother sing a song, a hymn, Where is my wandering boy tonight? You know, that often haunted me. As I grew up, I was only 5 when she died little. And I used to hear her playing that on the organ, singing with the organ, Where's my wandering boy tonight? And many a time, in those years when I wandered far away from God, where's my wandering boy tonight? Ah, there's a father, and I think many a night this pillow will be wet with tears. You don't have to have a father's heart to understand this. And he'd be longing for the son's return. I wonder where he is. And I see him go out and he's peering down the road. And I want to tell you, dear sinner, tonight, this may be your last conference. This may be your last night. You don't know. We were at a funeral the other day of a 35-year-old woman. Thank God she was saved. A little 4-month-old baby. As she took that baby from her breast that day and laid it down on that quilt, she didn't realize she had fed it for the last time. In health and strength, the very picture of health. And they were playing a little game at a family gathering. And she sat down on a rock, and she gave a groan. And they thought she had fainted. Friends, she had gone home to heaven. You never know. You never know. You may be sitting in your last conference. Mr. Pierce and I are having meetings one night in Grand Bend, Ontario, here. And I remember Mr. Pierce, he said, don't you think it will always be the other fellow that'll be covered with a blanket on the side of the road? There were some young men sitting at the back that night. And 1/2 hour after the meeting was over, the body of one of those young men was covered with a blanket. A little way down the road from the gospel hall. Friend, these are reality. That Father, he's waiting. And there's a Father waiting, there's a Savior waiting for you tonight, as you've been hearing, he's been at the door. And he's knocked many times. Many times. What's he going to have to do to get in? I have a niece, and she sat through 10 weeks of gospel meetings, hale and hearty. The tent blew down. Oh, that solemn look on her face, because every series of meetings she intended to get saved. And we were going again in about two nights after in another building, and there she sat. 2 weeks, and God was working and dealing with souls, and there she sat. Dear Violet, the very picture of health and beauty, full of vim and many years to live. Is she going to get saved sometime? We had a big weekend planned. And that weekend, when she woke up on Saturday morning, she had a terrific headache. And it got worse as the day went on. Sunday was no better. Monday, they took her back home. She was with her girlfriend. And the girlfriend told them. They called her the family doctor. It was ever one thing that Violet dreaded above anything else. Had her boyfriend had died in an iron lung. And the doctor came in and examined her, and he said, "Take her." Violet has told her. After preaching 12 weeks, the dear Violet had met them. We met the car with a wheelchair at the hospital, and we wheeled her into the hospital, down to the isolation ward. The dear mother broke her heart, and the good people were dying of it. I don't know whether it's the first or the second night she was in there. Her mother came in about 5 o'clock. And Violet looked up at her and she said, Mom, she said, I got saved. I got saved this afternoon. I got saved this afternoon. Violet lived. She's a cripple today, but she's going on for God. Friend, God had to use strong measures. Turn her down. I often look and I think, oh, Violet, if you'd have just listened to God when he was calling, this might not have happened, but God was kind. And Violet today would tell you, she'd rather be stricken with the polio and have God's salvation because she's got sisters that have no use for the gospel. A waiting Father, oh, friend, tonight we're going to tell you, there's a waiting Savior. And he has a fatted calf. Oh, he had everything ready. I think as he looked at that fatted calf, and he looked at the best robe. Oh, if he'll only come home, I'll give it all to him. Dear sir, you don't know what God will do for you tonight. He'll only come home. But I want to think of his welcome. He's coming along. He doesn't know how he's going to meet his father. He thinks of home. He thinks I forfeited all. Well, I got all my portion. And he's got all that long world tables where maybe he often despised those servants that were feeding out there in the outside place. But when he was at the big draws, he thought if I could just get in there as a servant, I'd be satisfied. I'll go home. I'll hire on as a servant. I took the Lord's room. He's coming back, not as a son. He has no claim upon the Father. He's forfeited all claim. And the Father puts him amongst the servants. He'll be happy because he was amongst the pigs before. And he's taking the right attitude now. He's coming. In his rags and in his filth, he's coming. But there's an eye looking for him. And here he gets near. That Father sees him coming. And he begins to run. Old men don't run much, you know. But this man ran. And he fell on his neck. He kissed him. You know in the book of the Revelation, it says unto him, the song in heaven will be unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. One dear man, we was praying, he said, God, we thank thee. Father, we thank thee that it doesn't say he washed us and then he loved us. I love it. He loved us and then he washed us. And the Father is love and all his rags and all his filth. The Father was there to welcome him home, a kiss on his cheek. Our friend, we want to tell you this is a royal welcome. I tell you, we were down there in Connecticut at the time those dear men and women were released from the embassy there in Iran. The whole United States of America was stirred as they realized these people are coming home. The one thing that struck me on all the buildings, on the telephone wires, on the fronts of the doors, down in Times Square, there were those yellow ribbons, fly, welcoming them home. These captives are from home. My, what a welcome they got, out of prison, to a loving welcome. Dear sinner, that's what God wants to do for you tonight. He'll welcome you home. You place that forgiveness, that kiss of forgiveness. I'm sure you've heard that story of the young man. There's many a young man has left home in his pride and didn't realize what it was to have a father's heart. And our God is a father's heart. Our heart is just a reflection of the heart of God. If you're a father here tonight, you can understand that. And that son got weary of the far country and he decided he'd come back and his father would have him. And he wrote, he said, Daddy, do forgive me. Or words like these, I'll come home. And he said, if I'm welcome, I'll come on the train. And if I'm welcome, he said, hang out a white flag on the old tree in front of the house. If it's there, I'll get off. And if it's not, I'll just keep on going. And as the story goes, he came on the train as he got near the old familiar haunts of home. Coming around the bend, fidgeting was watching out the window. And one man was supposed to say to him, ask him why, and he told him the story. He said, I'm looking for flags on the old tree in front of the home. If I'm welcome, if not, I'll be going on. And the train pulled around the bend. And as it did, what do you think they greeted his eye? They said there was a white flag in every branch of the tree. Do you think he'd get off? And break your heart, dear sinner. There's a white flag on every branch tonight for you if you'll come home. Tomorrow may be too late. As you'll be hearing, draw the bolt and let him in. He'll take you. He'll come in tonight. And friend, he'll make for you a feast. He died for you and he loves you. And the last drop of his blood was shed to bring sinners to heaven. And if you miss it, You miss everything God has planned for you. I'm glad, I'm saved. After 49 years, friend, it's wonderful to know this Savior. And I'll tell you, there's a welcome for you tonight. You'll come as a sinner to Jesus. Lord, help you to come. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. We think of the words that the Spirit of God has left there that we have been hearing. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come in to him, sup with him, and he with me. Oh God, we don't know who all is in our audience tonight, but Thou knowest. And maybe there's a prodigal here. Maybe there's a Christian child. Maybe there's a stranger that has never heard this story before. Grandfather, they might understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is receiving sinners. And if they'll come tonight, He will receive them. He'll take them in. God grant that someone might come home tonight for His name's sake. Let us sing number 111, the first three verses, number 111, softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home. There'll never be a better time. Close of the conference in Chapman Valley. Wouldn't it be lovely? Some dear soul would come as a sinner to Jesus, and I hear receive you. God help you to do so.